Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piper. I'm very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor or on a chair or the sofa, with your feet flat on the floor if possible. And the basic idea is just to find a way that you can sit up straight comfortably. So before we sit today, I want to share with you a weird and obscure, to me anyway, teaching that I have been obsessed with for years, decades, a long time. And this teaching is sometimes called the Seven Riches of the Universal Monarch, meaning ruler. And you and I, our job, among other jobs, is to find a way to establish our seat in the middle of our life, exactly as it is, with a sense of regalness, and royalty. So something to think about in any case. Now, these seven riches, which I'm going to name in a moment, I learned as part of my training in a Buddhist seminary. But I don't think that these teachings are originally connected to Buddhism. My guess, and I'm making this up, y'all, is that they stem from the Bun tradition, B-O-N, which is the indigenous tradition of Tibet that predates Buddhism. And as Buddhism seems to do wherever it goes, it meets the existing culture and mixes with it. It is rare to hear, and it tries to defeat it. Rather, it mixes with it. I'm sure there's exceptions to that. Nonetheless, in the mixing with Bun, and again, if you are an expert in the Bun tradition or the history of Tibet, and you would say otherwise, you know, let me know. I would be grateful, actually. As the Bun tradition says a lot about how to live everyday life. It is, to me, a shamanistic body of wisdom. And not only has to do with how you live everyday life, but how you live everyday life with a deep connection to the energies of this world. Not how you live your life to get everything you want, although I hope you will, but how to live in accord with this world. So without further ado, and I might try to write a little book about these. That's how obsessed I am with them. The first richness is called traditionally queen, but it doesn't have anything to do with gender or heterosexuality or anything like that. I use the word consort. The first rich source of richness is to have someone who you can be intimate with. It may involve sex, it may not. It kind of doesn't matter here. Someone who knows your heart and whose heart you know, who offers a deep kind of friendship, whether it includes romance or not. And it doesn't have to mean marriage and doesn't have to be one person, because that would leave a lot of us out. But this first source of richness is friendship. This enables you to take your seat in your world with some sense of confidence. The second richness is called a minister. And here, a minister doesn't mean someone that adjudicates all your problems. Rather, it means someone from whom you can get good advice. It can be a coach. It can be a therapist. It can be your mom. It can be your consort, but is there someone in your life who gives you good advice? That's the second of the seven richnesses. We'll call them richnesses. So consort, minister. Third is called a general. And this doesn't have anything to do with waging war, but it means something more like a source of protection. We all need protection. Do you have any sources of protection? Do you have great sources? Do you have mediocre ones? Terrible? None? Examine what protects you. And it can be a parent, and that would be great. It can be a friend who keeps an eye out for you. Anyone who has your back is like a general, someone who's looking out for things that might harm you and warning you or launching a non-aggressive counter-offensive, for example. So, as I have mentioned in previous videos, well, maybe just one video, I am a very big fan of K-dramas, Korean dramas. Yeah, I just really am. And I notice, I cannot help but notice in K-dramas, there's a lot of emphasis on the power and sorrow and sort of unreachableness of love. And when two people discover that they love each other, one of the big emphases is they become each other's general. They protect each other. They worry about that person's health and safety more than their own in the K-dramas. They often say, use the phrase, by your side. I will be by your side. That person that you thought had abandoned you, no, they've always been by your side. Let's always know each other. I will be by your side. Will you be by my side? So that by my side rouses some sense of the meaning of general. Someone has your back or your side in this case. That's three. The fourth richness is called a horse. Now, I don't think you need to go get a horse, but it means rather something related to the notion of wind horse in Tibetan Buddhism and perhaps other traditions, which means vitality, energy, a sense of being uplifted. We've all hopefully had moments or experiences in our life where we're like, this is frustrating. This is difficult. I don't see any way to do this. I can't do it. And then something happens and there's a sense of updraft. Something picks you up and carries you. Circumstances change. A person comes to your aid. Your insights alter. That's what is meant by wind horse on one level, that sense of being carried by circumstance, not randomly, but because of some kind of synergy. So, do you have a source of vitality? And this can mean anything from you exercise every day, to you eat really well. But please, I hate it when people say clean. I eat clean. It implies that the other foods are dirty. And I don't know. There's something pretentious and icky about that. I don't care for it. However, I do like to eat well, and a healthy food. But beyond your body and what you put in it, do you have activities that give you energy, hobbies or passions or friendships, interests of all kinds that when you engage in them, you walk out energized? K-dramas, leave me feeling, I don't know, something, awake. Okay, so that's five, no, four. Consort, general, minister, horse. Five is called the elephant. And, you know, obviously don't go out and get an elephant, but think of how does an elephant move in the movies anyway. I've never seen an actual elephant. Boom, boom, boom. There's a sense of definite, intentional, slow, steady progression toward your objective. Do you have that? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But do you know how to have that, even on the in the moments that you don't? Do you have a sense of purpose? And if you don't, because a lot of people don't, and well, all people don't from time to time, can your purpose be feeling into what that purpose is? Not forever, today, this week, at this time in your life. And then the walk of the elephant, boom, sort it. Steady, solid, heavy, can't be thrown off. That's a good one. Sixth is called the wish-fulfilling jewel. I'd like one of those. I'd like you to have one of those. And it means all sorts of things. Anything from profound compassion, your heart's ability to feel and to care. I mean, that's a wicked jewel, if I may say. But I think of my most precious jewel in any case, and you have to think of yours, is knowing who I am and being who I am and not trying to do things in some other way, because some expert said I should. Although, thank you, experts. I have benefited from many of you. This jewel has something to do with the singularity of who you are. Knowing and resting in the confidence of that knowing. That is a very precious jewel. Without it, it's very difficult. And I don't have it perfectly. I don't know if anyone has it perfectly. But one of the benefits of aging is you see more clearly who you actually are, your strengths, your challenges, your traumas, where they came from, where they are triggered, what actually gives you joy, and what you actually don't want to do. So I'll give you a little example. This is a silly example, but it was also great. The other day, let's see, today is Monday. On Saturday, well, anyway, a couple days ago, my husband and I were in our living room here in Austin, Texas, and a friend of ours came over who we've both known for a very long time. All three of us have been deeply engaged in music at different points in our life. And our friend, in fact, still is. He is an incredible guitar player and a producer and one of my favorite people in the whole entire world. And in fact, if you ever listen to my podcast, I have a podcast, y'all, called Buddhism Beyond Belief. He composed and is playing the little musical intro and outro, which I love and which I could not let the podcast out into the world without. I know that sounds persnickety or strange, but every time something, and this is an aside, every time someone would suggest a piece of music for my podcast, I didn't like it. It was all, shakuhachi flutes, nothing wrong with that, but tribal beats and things that just sounded really trite to me. So I asked him, would you just noodle and play something for my podcast? And he did, and I love it. And I've actually heard from people who also love it. So thank you, Derek, for that piece of music. Anyway, we're sitting there, we're reminiscing about the old days, and we share many, many experiences of music and musicians and bars and tours and many, many, many stories. Anyway, Duncan, my husband, said, let's call Hammond, a fourth person who shares our history, but even more deeply than probably all three of us combined, knows a lot about music and has many stories. Anyway, the point of my story is both Hammond and Derek are great storytellers. Hammond started rolling out the stories about what it was like to be on the road with Gate Mouth Brown. You can Google these names if you don't know them. What happened to Earl King when he got in the studio? Earl King wrote a great song, many great songs, but one of them is called Trick Bag. I love that song. Was Sam Myers a great, all of these people are deceased, singer and harmonica player who we all thought was blind, but always said he wasn't. Was he? So Hammond, who would go on the road with him, would do little tests, like there's something on TV. He said, anyway, I won't tell that story. But anyway, so as this conversation is going, and it's a half hour, and it's an hour, and it's an hour and a half, and it's nighttime, y'all, and I go to sleep really early. So I got really tired. So I just lay down on the couch with them and then listened and closed my eyes. And I remember thinking, this is where it relates to the jewel. Ideal social engagement. I don't have to say anything. I'm deeply interested and moved by what I'm hearing. My eyes are closed. No one expects anything of me. I'm just listening. And that is a very, very, very long-winded example of this jewel of I know myself. I don't want to chat. I only want to listen. I want to be within myself all the time, even in social engagements, which is not easy. And so, you know, I roll with things. Obviously, I'm a person with a life. But I remember thinking, yeah, for me, this is the ideal way to engage socially, pretending to be asleep on the couch. Although I wasn't pretending, I was just lying there listening to people I love. Who wouldn't like that? Anyway, the seventh and final jewel or richness is called a wheel. And it's some sense of these things all work together. They relate to each other. They synergize each other. They coexist, not without conflict, but as part of my world. These things are all on a wheel together. The consort, the minister, the general, the horse, the elephant, me, the jewel of me, you in this case, they relate to each other. So now you know my obsession, current, one of my many current obsessions, in addition to K-dramas, the seven riches, they're called, of the universal monarch. You can Google them if you do. There's really not much written about them. Okay, now let's practice. I hope. To me, this all relates to practice, especially the jewel. How do you know yourself? Well, you just sit with yourself as a friend, which is what we're doing right now. So please forget everything I just said and as good everything you thought about what I just said. And just relax. Let your hands rest on your legs, palms down. Let yourself feel heavy from the waist down and light and open from the waist up, like you're rooted and spacious. Because you are. Let your belly relax. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed. The lips and teeth can be slightly parted. The jaw relax, and the tongue can rest on the roof of the mouth, just behind the upper teeth, unless that feels weird. Breath is natural in and out through the nose, meaning just normal breathing. The eyes are open. And the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And let the eyes receive rather than search. Just take in the visual field. And you can almost pretend or imagine that your eyeballs sink back a little bit in the sockets. And there's no sense whatsoever of straining. And if you're visually impaired, you can just do this through the ears, not the sitting back part, but just not listening for anything, just hearing. Let your attention rest on the breath, which means to feel the body breathing rather than to notice the body breathing. Just feel. What does your body do on the inhale and the exhale? And let your attention and that feeling connect. Thoughts come and go. No problem. Just let your mind be as it is. Let your breath become the foreground of your attention and your thoughts the background, an ambient sort of presence. And should you notice that you have become so absorbed in thoughts that you have lost track of your breath, no problem. Just notice that. Really take a little beat and notice. You can say to yourself silently, thinking, let go. Gently come back to this breath and take a fresh start. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. I'll see you next week.